The Michigan band Faugrass won the Kalamazoo Fretboard Festival's play-in contest in the acoustic category. That secured them a spot in Saturday's lineup, alongside bands like the Red Sea Pedestrians, the Corn-Fed Girls, and artists like Megan Dooley. Of course, Faugrass didn't need the contest to make a name for themselves. They've toured all over the Midwest, along the East Coast, and also in Colorado. I have mandolin player Jason Wheeler on the phone with me now. Hi, Jason. Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
So, as the name Faugrass implies, you guys don't really consider yourself a bluegrass band, at least not in the traditional way. Why not?
Right. Well, I think we kind of consider ourselves sort of riding the fringes of what most people would consider to be a bluegrass band, in the way that we, we have the typical instrumentation, obviously, being a mandolin, upright bass, acoustic guitar, and dobro, that kind of thing. With the dobro as part of our sound, it already kind of leans toward the more progressive side of the acoustic music world, which kind of opens doorways into different sort of everything from a different kind of groove to just a different approach to traditional music. And so we try to kind of tackle the tunes and the material that we play with a certain amount of intention toward letting it be maybe a little bit more improvisationally focused and less about the structure of the tune. We're not, as a band, necessarily concerned about preserving tradition with music or, for instance, playing a Billman Road tune exactly as it was played, like the traditionalists would expect. So that's kind of our niche within that bluegrass world, and from the way that we look at it, is, we love the music, we love to play the music, we love to share the music and the history of the tunes and all that kind of stuff, but we are way more interested in pushing the boundaries of what these tunes can do for us, you know, what we can learn within them, and then how we share this music, how we continue to spread it through the oral tradition, for instance. That's where we would lean back into the traditional bluegrass or even old time, where, you know, we love to learn the stories and the history, and we love to preserve the integrity and the character of this music, but we want to make sure that we don't walk into a room and people expect to hear a gospel style bluegrass or a Billman Road type sound, and then they get us and are, you know, disappointed or, you know, less than pleased.
So can you kind of give me an example of a song that you've tweaked a little bit, you know, how you changed it, and maybe the story behind it, too?
Sure. Well, yeah, one that just comes to mind here, just because we were down in Kalamazoo recording with Ian Gorman of the Red Sea Pedestrians a couple of weeks ago. So we recorded a tune that is a traditional tune called Ready for the Times to Get Better. It was performed by everybody from, you know, Doc Watson has a classic recording of it, nice and slow, finger picking, kind of on the darker side. And then there was a rock and roll setup to it when I think it was Crystal Gayle recorded it in the 80s. So we really like taking tunes like that that have either already been kind of played around in different genres, if that makes sense. And what we'll do with a tune like that, for example, is we'll basically scrap everything except for the lyrics and the core of the progression. And then we start to kind of look and see, is there ways to substitute the chord progression, you know, kind of music geek language. But also just the approach. We play it with a certain drive that's reminiscent of what we want to see the Faugrass sound like in, say, 10, 15 years. You know, we have a direction that we're heading towards. So we'll take these tunes and we try to create a strong drive. We pick the tempos up a little bit, not to play things just to play them fast, but because the drive is what we're going for. There's a certain sound that we're in pursuit of. So we'll transform tunes like Ready for the Times to Get Better, or maybe an old-time fiddle tune like Salt Creek, which some folks may have heard us play, where we'll play the melody as it stands, as it was written and passed on. And we'll run it through a couple of times, and then we will open it up to solos, and we'll even leave the progression alone, and we'll just kind of see where the song goes. And we know full well that we're coming back into the tune. So those are a couple of tunes that we've done our own treatment with that have roots in the traditional world, and that we think that we're taking them into a little bit different direction and still keeping that character, integrity, respect for the song.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you were at La Luna Studios recording. Can we expect that album? Is it a full album?
It is a full album. It'll be a longer album, and I know it's been kind of a long-awaited thing because we had a Tim had hurt himself. Our bass player got hurt back about a year and a half ago, and that kind of slowed our progress. It was a long healing process before we were able to get back in at full speed. So we had recorded a handful of tunes here in Grand Rapids, and we've essentially scrapped those tunes. We've brought a couple of them back into the studio with Ian, but we're three songs away from the album being done, and we are scheduled in there on March 26th. So the CD will probably be done by about May, and we'll release it once we feel like we've got our whole package assembled, basically. We're doing a full like kind of rebranding of the band that we're really excited about. So new logo, trying to increase the perception and the awareness of the brand and that kind of thing, and probably launch in the summer is the plan.
Yeah, rebranding the band. You know, what can we expect out of this album?
Well, it shows a lot of it's got a lot of diversity to it, and within that, we really have been striving because you know, we've been working on this now for about a year and a half, and we've really been trying to have a consistent theme of kind of like personal reflection, if that makes sense. A lot of stuff is written from the perspective of somebody that's going through all these different archetypal shifts within themselves, different perspectives, everything from family to the traditional things that you would see in bluegrass that we do still really enjoy, things like the Love Lost, the train songs, the tunes that kind of paint a picture of a rambler, so to speak, you know, for lack of a better term. And obviously all these experiences that we've collected while being on the road, we've hit, you know, as the band started, we've probably hit about 20-some states so far, 20 to 25 states we've played in. And along that, you know, all this time on the highway and on the road and sharing stories and all that kind of thing with other bands and folks we've met along the way, we've really been intentional about letting some of those things find their way into the music. So this album's going to kind of be a representation of the journey that we've been on as a band for the last couple of years in particular. And some of those shifts, like some of those difficulties that we've had to overcome, like for instance, somebody getting a couple of fingers chopped off, like what happened to Tim, and you know how that shaped the band and how we became a stronger unit and better friends through those experiences. So we're really hoping that that's what people pick up when they listen to the album as a whole.
Yeah, and I realize you're not Tim McKay, the upright bassist for the band, but can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Well, he had a pretty bad, I mean, if you ask him, it's no big deal because, you know, that's Tim's perspective. And he's a great guy, and his attitude is what kind of was the impetus for us to kind of keep our confidence going. So it was great. But it was a rather, you know, severe injury where he lost, I think, partially severed two or three fingers on his, right hand. And it was in a snowblower accident. And so, you know, from initial take, there was a lot of folks, including doctors and stuff, that didn't think he was going to be able to play again.
Oh, wow.
And he bounced back, you know, remarkably quick. He had a ton of surgeries that he had to go through, you know, reattaching things and fixing tendons and skin grafts and all sorts of stuff. He had basically anything that you could have done to your hand at that point, he's had done. And he took really good care of it, and he's been healing really well. And like I said, that was sort of one of those make-or-break moments for the band where, at that point, Adam and I were kind of stepping back as that healing process was taking place and thinking, talking, you know, amongst each other, like, what, you know, are we done? Do we got to, you know, hang in the towel, that kind of thing? And it was seeing how quickly things kind of jumped back up and the momentum that we had and a lot of the support that we found from our fan base and family and friends was really inspiring. So once he got kind of back up to performance health, it really was like a catalyst for us to take this a little bit more seriously and have, you know, really put a lot of intention into the music. And so I think that all in all, you know, I'm sure Tim went through, you know, a lot of time of being really sore and that sort of thing, but that was something that really helped the band in the long run, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it helped us find our direction.
I'm glad he's doing better.
Yeah, we all are. Yeah, and he's doing great. And as you know, he's playing away like a monster. So,
You know, it's funny. I read some articles that called you a Grand Rapids band. I read some that called you a Northern Michigan band, and I was very careful to say that you were just a Michigan band because you guys have band members from all over the state. You know, does that make practicing hard?
Well, it did, yeah. Tim, actually, after that injury, he ended up moving down in this direction. So that was another thing that happened that kind of, again, why I, when I look back on it now, I'm seeing that it's just funny how all this stuff happens. You know, everything happens for a reason kind of thing in my world. And one thing that seems tragic in a moment within a few months' time ends up leading to the whole band being able to relocate into the, you know, the Rockford, Grand Rapids area. And it gave us more time as a band. It was less stress on the road because we were even rehearsing in storage sheds in Cadillac to meet in the middle. So, I mean, we had a pretty stressful dynamic as far as how do we get together and rehearse when we're 3 hours away and stuff like that. And keep in mind, you know, we were touring 180 to 220 days a year at that point. So it was a pretty stressful time. But now that we're all here and within 15 miles of each other, it's a breeze. We're able to get together, you know, quite a bit. We spend a lot of time together outside of the band, so it's been really nice.
Yeah, and when did you get back on tour, and what was that like?
Oh, it was excellent. So we got back on as soon as he was better, I believe the winter of 14, we headed back out. We did a run from Michigan to Colorado, all the states in between, and then headed up through Wyoming, Idaho, back to Colorado and home. And then we did the Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee shortly following that. And then we last summer we went back out on the road and did a run of shows that took us over to the Telluride Bluegrass Competition where we performed there. And then home, and then we decided it was time to get off the road for a little bit and just focus on getting the CD done. So, yeah, so it was excellent. And, I just feel really blessed and really fortunate to be able to cruise around in a vehicle with, you know, best friends and sharing tunes and playing. And just that whole world is something that's really intriguing to me and enticing. And it was really, really nice to be able to get back at it in that way.
You know, something fun that I saw that you guys did is, in September, you actually played a medieval-themed wedding. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that was amazing.
What
yeah.
was that like?
Oh, it was great. That was probably our highlight of the summer. We still are talking about that. So those were some dear friends of ours that we've met while touring. And our UP market is really large. So if anybody from this radio, any listeners that have a connection up in the UP, we always want to make sure that we recognize that and thank those folks because it's a second home to us. So the Marquette and Houghton Hancock area and Little Lake and a few of those towns up there have all just been really, really good to us. Up there we've met, you know, tons of folks. We've ended up playing a lot of weddings. We've played a lot of private parties. We've been connected into the brewery scene up there. So that was one of the connections that we made in Marquette. And those two folks got married last summer. And, yeah, it was a medieval-themed wedding, like you said, and we just had an absolute riot doing that. And kind of got a chance to be amongst a group of people that was familiar with our tunes, so we felt real comfortable, so we experimented a lot with what we were doing. And it was just a great time and, you know, made a lot of new friends. We got a lot of other gigs out of that one. So, yeah, those are kind of the finer moments of being in a band, I guess. You get to do those quirky things, and it's just a blast. And being a part of somebody's wedding, you know, is a really special thing for us.
And of course, you know, we're talking here today because the band won a spot through the Fretboard Play-In competition. You know, what was
yeah.
the competition like? Have you done it before?
No, we hadn't done it before. We didn't even know anything about it, to be honest. We had a friend that had, I've heard a lot about the Fretboard Festival, but I didn't know anything about the band competition. But the Crane Wives, who are good friends of ours, I was talking with Dan, the drummer, and he had mentioned that we should submit to it, and we submitted, and we were late, so that must have been last year. And then Chris had reached back out to us after, you know, so basically like a nine-month window had passed.
Chris Falk?
Falk, yep.
Yeah.
He's a great guy to work with, by the way, so we really appreciate being invited to it. So, yeah, so one thing led to another. We missed one opportunity. We got on board for this past year, 2015, and it was a great time. It was an excellent, you know, group of bands that were all there. We just ended up kind of sitting in the back room with the guys from, I think, Full Court is their name, and just picking bluegrass tunes. And then when our set came up, it was just kind of like, you know, wandering from the back room playing right up onto the stage and play as if it was just, you know, another jam kind of thing. So we just kind of went there to have fun and not take it too seriously and let people see that side of us. The natural side of what Fograss is basically just, you know, friends up there having fun, letting the music be what it is. And people must have enjoyed it because then here we are and we're really excited to play this coming Saturday.
Quite a few people on the lineup, most of which I'm sure that our listeners will recognize. You know, are you excited to play with anyone in particular?
I mean, everybody. We, you know, everybody offers a unique perspective on their, you know, on music in general. And we love seeing the different sides of everybody, the creativity that everybody brings to the table in settings like this. So there's not anybody in particular, just like I would hope that nobody's coming there just to kind of see us or one other band. I think we're of the mindset that we're going there just to kind of share in the experience with people. And we want to learn. Hopefully we'll pick up a new tune, you know, picking in a parking lot with somebody, that kind of thing. Those are really the highlights of these experiences, more so than going up and playing a 45-minute set, which, you know, we're honored to do and we love it. But it's more about just being a part of the whole thing and trying to contribute the best we can, bring our spice to the table. And, yeah, and so we're just really excited to work with everybody.
Okay, I think that's about all that I had. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you wanted to mention?
Keep in tune, www.fograssmusic.com, and we'll have updates on the CD. We're releasing singles from the upcoming album, and then we will be back on the road hitting it real hard when it's all done, and we're really grateful to everybody that comes out and listens to us, and that would be about it.
Well, you can hear Fograss Saturday at the Kalamazoo Fretboard Festival. They're playing at 11 a.m. We'll have a link to the full lineup on our website. Jason Wheeler, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rebecca. Have a great day.